Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents.
Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest.
Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Last week on the Glass Cannon Podcast.
All right, well, let's take you back to the room here, and you set a watch, and somehow this bird just appeared there.
Yeah, because we need to, like,
compare it to the map.
Yes.
Compare it to the diorama.
Oh, to her. Okay, yeah.
Fantastic idea.
Yes.
We should walk in that direction.
So what are you up to now?
Still searching for your pockets.
I should warn you, many people have searched for those pockets, and those are the type of the people that don't come back.
While we're walking, Asta had clearly noticed that Zephyr was grabbing the urn. And she says, I know what you're thinking. I didn't kill your friend.
It's not just your fault. It's all of our faults. I mean, that whole situation was a mess. I failed. We all failed.
You compare your drawing, your memory of the bird, but the general feeling is 9 p.m.-ish and a rout.
Oh,
yes!
Maybe they're back. Maybe they're...
Look at this.
He's back.
Talitha.
You come back at nighttime, and you wait, when all of a sudden you see the air look... ripped open like a curtain.
We don't know how long it'll be open.
If we don't go, we won't know.
You're all coming too, yes?
Just stay close, Buggles. All of us, stay close.
Well, we've all passed through one kind of portal. Shall we?
Let's go. Yeah.
Brother Ramius looks back at the town and then watches all of them pass through.
Keeper, guide us.
He steps through.
The adventure continues now.
I hesitate to bring this up. Before we recorded last episode, I was talking with everyone. I'm like, what if we should talk about this? And you guys were like, the chat around the table was like, maybe we shouldn't. And so then I waited a week because I'm going to talk about it now. And I still think it's a bad time to talk about it. But I do want to talk about your impressions of the adventure thus far. And the reason I want to bring it up is I know Joe doesn't care for it.
Oh, he loves
because
it.
Because he doesn't understand it.
You're trying to understand things that should not be understood.
I feel very attacked by Kate.
You need to be comfortable not knowing stuff.
Stop telling me what I need to do.
Whoa. This is why he hates like David Lynch and like Twin Peaks and all that stuff, because it freaks him out. Like if he can't concretely hold it in his hands, he hates it.
For a fantasy nerd, you are very logos-centric.
He's a rules boy.
What does that mean?
How did this become Joe Attack Hour?
That's what I wanted.
All right, well, let's
talk about how we feel about Joe.
First of all, Joe's part in this adventure so far.
Yeah, this week on the band. Let's just air, air your grievances against O'Brien.
We do have some notes for you, Joe.
How the adventure so far? Well, Brother Ramius could use some work. And...
Yeah.
Well, what are your objections?
Yeah.
Could you explain your objections? Joe.
My objections have nothing to do. I'm trying to meditate on this. I've been trying for weeks and weeks to think about this. And it is not that it's a gatewalker's issue. It's really more of I'm trying to wrap my head around mystery role playing, right? Because there's a real, I think, a problem here that I'm trying to figure out how to solve, so to speak, which is that like it is written in such a way that if you don't roll the dice exactly how they are supposed to be rolled, you have to fudge it and just give the players the answer. And other stories don't have that because they don't have mysteries, but mysteries are awesome. So it's like, I'm trying to wrap my head around these super, super complicated, vague, high level mysteries that we're going after. And the players all kind of fumbling. Sorry. The characters all kind of, I don't like it. I don't mind if my character falls on his face and dies. I've come to grips with that over the years.
One would hope not.
What I don't like is a constant reminder that my character and all the other characters don't know anything, you know, and that they're stupid.
Says
and that they
the
can't
man who
figure
runs
it out.
A Delta Green campaign.
And, right. Well, that's why I said it's not a Gatewalker's issue. It's an overall issue. I sit there when I'm running a Delta Green game and I think, God, man, if they would just look at every piece of evidence that's here, it's all there. It's all there. But it never gets solved by players because it is so complicated to solve.
I think one issue you may be having is you're working under the assumption that you should know more.
And that's a great Delta Green thing that I've tried to transmit to the players. My concern here is not getting answers in Gatewalkers. For me, to be honest, it's more about can something happen? It feels to me like it's dragging. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, some of these scenes are very interesting where there's like a conversation with an NPC and you're trying to plumb for information. You're interrogating a witness kind of thing. And those scenes can be kind of cool. But when at the end of all of that, you learn nothing, you know, it's frustrating. And I feel like that's happening over and over and over. Now, there's a big breakthrough last week, so I'm very excited to be where we are right now.
This might be the rare case where the characters know more than the players.
We did spend basically 20 minutes, all of us, trying to explain the first world to Joe before he went on the air.
Oh,
but,
God. Wait,
but can I actually offer an endorsement of your endorsement with a complication and then a rebuttal, if I might?
Sure.
So the endorsement is, I think you're kind of like zeroing in on a central tension of mystery role-playing, which is that we're being presented with clues, but we're not scripted. So the character, it's Law and Order mystery.
If you're writing a mystery story, it's a different process than actually living.
And that's what I said off air.
Yeah. But also the kind of mystery you're describing is kind of Law and Order storytelling, which is a very satisfying storytelling where each scene is a clue.
Yes. Right?
And you get the mystery will move along one step.
Moves you a little bit closer to.
Yes.
As opposed to something, I get the kind of classic hard-boiled detective novel, which does have a very propulsive motion to it. And you are getting a lot of clues, but there are a lot of swerves. Like if you think about The Big Sleep, or you think about something, or any of the Dash Muhammad stuff.
Red herring, non-information.
Chinatown's another good example. What you think is a red herring that actually will come back, you know, 40 minutes later to be the key to understanding this thing that you didn't understand before. Mm-hmm. So
but it's designed.
It is designed.
Right? I worry that what we're doing is just making the game suck. You know what I mean? As opposed to designing a satisfying ending.
Yeah, yeah.
I think my takeaway, because I'm enjoying this, but I think you feel like we should be further ahead than we are. But to me right now, like we are still climbing the hill of the first act. Like, you know, there's so the problem of the Ayudara and like the missing moment, that is so big. That's like an end game quest, you know, and we're doing all these little quests right now to solve, you know, farmer, whatever his name was, and his weird son, you know, to me.
Right, but I feel like they should build.
But they are. I think they are. I maybe just disagree with you. I'm feeling like we're getting
a vibe. I feel like I'm picking up on a definite vibe, an atmosphere. And yeah. I feel like that's the kind of story.
That has become more clear to me, like in the last few times we've played, is that it's just like, oh, now I'm getting a feel for like a tone and everything.
Yeah.
That is really interesting. The thing that I initially had a problem with was that, I think we're talking about this a little bit too, is the idea that our characters came into the beginning of the adventure having already met and known each other. So I think that that was a little bit of a drawback, at least for the way that we play, in that we didn't have an opportunity for for us to meet our other people's characters, like as part of the story, mm-hmm. and get to know them that way. Was like assuming that we can't have those discussions really because we're supposed to already be acquainted. So it's hard to shoehorn those in.
Right. So like if you're designing a really good mystery or like a detective story and you start it with a detective and their partner, you can tell by the way that it's crafted that they have history and it comes out it perfectly timed in an interesting ways. When you're not crafting it and you're supposed to like already know everything about each other or at least a decent amount about each other, it seems weird to be like, so where are you from? Right. When you're yeah. like, you've known each other for 3 months, you're living in a complex. Yeah. It's like, well, okay, but then we never had that conversation, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I always sort of considered it like you guys were rolling into Riddleson's situation at different times along with other gatewalkers. So your time with each of you individually may have been very limited. And it wasn't until this journey with Riddleson to Seven Arches did you really get to start to know each other. Now, that doesn't mean that maybe Ramius and Buggles hadn't spent a night having a couple drinks and talk. You know, that might yeah. have happened, but I kind of assumed that it was very surface and your journey there was very journey oriented. It's like, hey, I'm about to travel with a bunch of relative strangers for a month. That first week, you're still kind of feeling each other out. And it was now like the second week of traveling together that our adventure begins. But it is easier when it's like you all meet in a tavern.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking about some of the other adventures, like Rise of the Rune Lords, spoilers for the first 4 pages of Rise of the Rune Lords. But everyone meets in a town and we see them, we meet each other, like we experience that. And then like there's an event that sort of catalyzes their relationship as a group. And that... I think Giant Slayer had a similar thing. Yeah. So I think that works really well. I think that's why, like, well, you know, I've been enjoying the entire process, but it's just like I'm only really feeling myself getting into the story now.
Yeah.
Whereas I think in something like Rune Lords, like I got into it way earlier just because of that, helped by that experience. Mm. That kind of.
I mean, I would say that. I'm really enjoying the story. I've enjoyed all the Bowon stuff and the forest play castle. What's the actual word I'm looking for?
It was the gnome hideout.
The gnome hideout. Yeah. And then this
play castle.
I don't know. This I'm really into. But I agree. Like the opening of it felt. I think it's like you're opening on with a mission, but kind of as a lie. You don't.
Yeah.
You're that thing you're supposed to do was kind of a feint, right? And so yeah. instead of having that kind of big immediate. Instead of having the missing moment be the thing that kind of united us all, it was like, oh, we're doing this mission to measure the arches to see if they work, and they don't, but we didn't tell you
and
that.
And everybody already knew they didn't work.
It's a very interesting situation in which the inciting like
Strange
event
Aeons
happened
is another
3 months before the show began.
Right.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah, Strange Aeons is another great thing. Like, we all wake up with similar, like, lost time, like, memory, and we're all in the same...
And
like,
we don't know each other.
We don't know each other. Yeah. We wake up in this prison together, and, like, that's, you know, breaking out of there, figuring our way out of there. That's what draws us together yeah. as a group, you know.
When I think more about it, it's that. It's just that lack of, as you put it, it's good, that event that catalyzes not just the story, but also the
our
party.
Relationship, yeah. Our existence, as a unit.
Not that I wanted Lucky to die, but her dying really brought us together.
It did. Actually, yeah, bit. That was.
It made it, because like, I didn't think about that at first. I thought that the like vibe being different was because this was my first time playing in this type of setting with you guys, but it was because like we didn't have what?
For you having to play in this setting.
But like, yeah, we didn't have like, oh, we're just meeting. Like we all kind of know each other and it made the vibe different. But in regards to the mystery, Like, I don't know if it's just because I'm used to playing Call of Cthulhu, but I'm just like, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'll figure it out at some point. Like,
so I feel Delta Green too. I'm like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
The whole time. And then something happens like this. Like, we figure out a path and the portal opens and I'm like, nailed it.
Yeah,
we did it.
I think this is one of the things that drew me to this. It's a very non-traditional approach, and it almost feels like the way it's unfolding is more of a novel than like a screenplay. We've talked about Robert McKee before. His whole thing is like, if in the first 10 pages of the script that big thing doesn't happen, it's a bad script, you know. And we don't have that. We're 20 episodes in. I think in a way you're still kind of waiting for that like aha moment, and it's really not meant to be that. It's meant to be more of a exploration and discovery, and it may feel slow, but I think that you're definitely on the verge of some more answers.
Yeah, and now, like I said, I mean, now that we are this, I feel like now that the adventure has sort of picked a lane, and I'm starting to wrap my head around that. And now, like for me, like my place in it, our place in it, is starting to make more sense, and I'm really, you know, apart from just being enjoying playing, like now I'm like really invested in the story and like interested to see where it goes next, like all that stuff. Like now it's working for me. Yeah. So.
And we've talked about the past on Cannon Fodder too, that like sometimes when you play these APs, now this is a 3-book AP as opposed to a 6-book adventure path, that it's really not until the end of book one that you realize what the real game is that you're playing.
Yeah, and sometimes often, not even then.
Yeah, when you look at Giant Slayer, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't listened to that and just started with this, you know, you think it's it's a murder mystery, and then you realize what's really going on there. But even then, it's not until the end of book two that you realize.
Still, like, no, that,
and oh, even then, yeah.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's but how they're each designed. Step of the way, you're getting satisfying answers to the immediate questions you have. It's just that you get those answers, and it opens up another question, you know, and I'm not seeing that here. But I think what Skid is talking about with the characters, I think that's the biggest part of it. Because with Delta Green, it's very like, solving it is not the objective.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all about the attempt to solve it and what it does to the people that are trying to do that. Similar to Blade Runner, the way that was laid out is really brilliant. It's like, the mystery is not the focus. The focus is how the mystery affects and impacts the tension between humans and replicants. And like what that's the core concept we're examining. I think that we're missing that a little bit. I think that we need to do a little bit better work with each other's characters, not just being so secretive about everything all the time and starting to open up a little, which obviously started to happen last week.
I could tell you were going to accuse me.
No, that was a good thing. At least you're moving in a positive direction.
I did too, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And your scene was amazing.
Oh, yeah, amazing scene.
Yeah, so like we got to do some more of that, because then you'll care about, like, I haven't told anybody what my missing moment is. I'm like, he's very secretive about it or whatever. But then like nobody knows why he would do all this. And so it doesn't make any sense. Also, like, we got to get it out there.
As a player who had their character die very early on, I had so much and none of it was spoken about. None of it was explored. And it's sort of like, all right, in the trash can, like, there's no way to use it for anything, but it does make me want to talk about things now.
Yeah.
If only Lucky had a journal.
Oh, maybe she did.
Maybe we'll find it. Yeah.
It was on her person and burned in the fire.
The other thing I will say to your point, but to complicate it, is I think we as a group like to role play every single
minute of every day.
Yeah. So
yeah, like last week's a perfect example. All right. So this is a little bit meta, but like when we get the bird and we get the time and we get the location, I'm like, let's just end scene
and be there.
And then we fade up and it's 9 p.m. and we're in the woods.
Right. So that's a role play.
Right. It's like, well, what are we going to do for lunch? And who do we not want to come to lunch? Now, obviously there's some comedy there. But when we're talking about, well, did we ever look at Henry Bucket's house? In my head, I'm like, stop! It doesn't matter.
What we would find.
Nothing.
Four elixirs of life.
That's true.
And there was like a pattern.
It could save your life.
There was a pattern in the mess. So it's like, you see that other people are finding stuff. But like when we were in the gnome compound fighting for a lot of episodes, it's like you don't have time.
Compound was the word I was looking for.
Compound.
Not playhouse.
Play castle. I mean, I played a compound.
David Koresh's
house.
I was like, remember that playhouse in Waco?
When mean, we're spending.
Great joke, Skid. Great joke. Bottle cap.
Yeah.
I tried to get it out.
We're spending all of that time fighting. You don't have a lot of time to role play. So I feel like we try to take advantage of these times like a lot.
I should just name the episode David Courageous. Just some of people see me like, what the hell is going on?
What could this possibly be about?
I came here for some information on the Seven Seals. I didn't expect the First World.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I'm really trying to do in GMing is just kind of let you guys drive it. If you want to go straight to 9 p.m., we can do that. And it's like you guys skipped over things. Hatchery at Pebblesworth. You go, we're not going to deal with that now. No, maybe you'll deal with it later. But like, you don't have to do everything. But if you're interested in doing everything, I'm going to follow with you and try to make it interesting. Because then you really feel like the feeling I had as a kid where like, I can do whatever I want. Really? You don't have to follow a path. And it may be slow. It may feel slow to you who wants that thing.
Yeah, like I just like, yeah.
But, you know, you just got to kind of live in it because I think the payoff is coming. It just moves at a different pace.
Also, I will say, in defense, it sounds like I'm shitting on our approach, but it is that approach that led to Barry Broadfinger and that kind of comedy, but also the little interactions that are just give the world a lot of texture. Yeah. So I actually do.
Yeah. RPGs are different and they're great for that reason.
So, totally.
Yeah.
Well, when we come back, maybe this is the episode where business picks up for Joe.
The Glass Cannon podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. So this isn't news to anyone, but the last few years have been a real humdinger of an experience. And that can really stress some of the relationships in your life. I mean, I know it, between the pandemic and pseudo post-pandemic times and moving and having children, and these things can really stress those important relationships in your life. And start arguments and disagreements. And a common misconception about relationships is that they have to be easy to be right. But sometimes the best ones are the ones where both people put in the work to make them great. And therapy can be a place to work through the challenges you face in all your relationships, whether with friends, work, your significant other, anyone. Now, I've said before, and I'll say it again, that I think everyone should get the help that they want and need. And I am for healthy brains. I think everyone probably would agree that we can all be for healthy brains. And it can be really helpful to learn positive coping skills, how to set boundaries, those kinds of things that can empower you to be the best version of yourself. And it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It can be for everyone. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/GCN today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GCN.
Did you ever try to quit something cold turkey? It sucks! Drastic change can be noble, but it is rarely effective in my experience. It's actually better to just try to remove the bad part of a bad habit while keeping some of the other elements so you can be more effective in that pursuit. That's why I love the concept behind Fume, an innovative award-winning flavored air device that does exactly that. It's a device that uses flavored air instead of vapor. The set comes with flavors like, I've got them right here, like crisp mint and white cranberry and other flavors that I freaking love. Like there's this orange creamsicle one that's amazing. They're delicious. And the thing itself has no electronics and is completely natural. You should check this thing out. It is made of this beautiful wood. It has an onyx coated mouthpiece. It is well weighted. It is extremely fun to fidget with. I was actually just having a jam session with Land Keith and the Woodman, if you know him from the Degenerate Dungeon. And during one of our breaks, we stepped outside for a little fresh air, and I enjoyed my Fume. It is just natural and healthy, and it takes the bad out of the habit. So start the year off right with the good habit by going to tryfume.com/GCN and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving the niche 10% off when you use our code GCN to help make starting the good habit that much easier.
And we're back. Once again, I want to thank our sponsors, Demiplane, Foundry VTT, and Norse Foundry.
Norse Foundry for all your random number generating needs.
Check them out. I'm so excited. I wonder if I'll actually get to roll my shiny new Troy die today.
Who's rolling with their die? I'm rolling with mine.
Should be the only die you roll.
For real.
Mine is imperfect.
Oh, I forgot. The accident.
Mine is imperfect.
I thought we destroyed that in the forge where it was built.
Norse Foundry's gotten a little bit of love. Demiplane and Foundry, not so much lately. It's been a couple episodes of just role play. Just
Joe wants combat.
I want to get this new character sheet, by the way. It's, well, not new, but...
The Demiplane
remaster is dope. And I want to take it out for a spin. So... Go ahead. Take it to the recap, because we cross over into this dangerous place. I want to fight something.
I have no recap. You guys know where you are. You have stepped through. And as you said at the end of the episode, and then when we went off the air, are we stuck? How are we going to get back? How are we going to get back? How do we get out? You don't know. You just stepped through. Second time in your life, you just walked through a gate.
Yeah.
We do that. That's what we do.
That's where the gatewalkers. It's in the name.
I would like to think I did this in the moment of last week, but I didn't want to, you know, delay episode momentum. But can I roll a knowledge check about this? I mean, Matthew, suspect that the time passes differently in this plane, given our past playing experience, and also the 3-day, 3-night deadline you set out for us early on.
Oh.
But does Talitha have any idea about that? Can I roll something?
Yeah, you could do Arcana, Occultism, maybe some First World lore. I'm sure you took that at character creation.
I mean, you've said that now multiple times, which leads me to believe the AP must have the term First World lore in it 1,000 times. We just never thought to take it.
All right, 22 Arcana.
The air around you, now that this portal is close behind you, the world you've known is close behind you, seems to drain everything of color. Even yourselves, you look at each other and everyone just looks muted. Not completely black and white. I said this last week. It's not that, but dulled. You look down at yourself, your skin, your clothing. The same thing, just...
Needs a color correction.
As you
desaturated.
Yeah. Desaturated, yes. The wind begins howling around you as you stand there, and you all feel the ground beneath your feet sort of heave and rumble. Is it like greeting you? Is it constantly like this? You do not know.
Wait, literally, the ground is
like it's like alive,
earthquaking.
Yeah,
whoa,
like a subway going underneath.
Yeah,
like
I thought you meant like it's breathing or something.
Well, you look down; it does feel like there is some movement there, but then it stops. You look ahead in the distance in the horizon. You saw last week mountains. Well, you see one of those mountains now, and as it catches your eye, you watch as one of the slopes just crumbles and falls off like an invisible knife. Sliced a chunk off the mountain, and
that's
the slope
amazing.
Just falls to the ground, and then you watch where that slope once was, and you see several trees start to emerge from the earth, fully grown where the mountain slope once was, just rising up to replace the earth that just fell. You look around you, and everything is covered in rot and decay. There are ruins of old structures dotting the landscape up ahead. Maybe you even see like little movement of animals, and all the little tiny vermin you see all look twisted and wrong as they scurry off into the bushes. And then far ahead, looming, sort of like invitingly to all of you, is a gargantuan tree stump. Just standing above the entire surrounding foliage, and it is unearthly in size and seems to beckon to you. That twisting path that you saw at the bottom of the fissure while you were still on the material plane just winds its way right to the base of this stump far in the distance. With your check, you know from the time you spent at the Quaking Stacks that you are in Nighthold.
Okay.
You...
I thought Nighthold was like a fortress.
That maybe is a sense that you got, but you know that it is a shadowy corner of the First World. A place that fell to pieces. Maybe it was a fortress. It fell to pieces when Count Renalc was exiled.
So we could be in the overgrowth of a bustling street or empire or something.
You look at those structures, you're like, did those once connect?
Yeah.
Is this all part of something? And then when he fell, it just went to shit.
Rome of the First World.
Watching that mountain crumble and trees emerge, that could have happened in the span of a moment. When he was exiled, Count Renalc, the Lord of Betrayal, Exile, and Shadows, he himself was exiled to the Shadow Plane by the other Eldest millennia ago. You know this place is deeply unstable and dangerous, even for the First World, and prone to regular breaches through which creatures can enter from the Material Plane, just as you did. But creatures can also enter from the Shadow Plane. Is this constant overlapping?
It's crosshatched. I'm just reading my notes on the Thinlands, and that is the colorless forest located in the shadowy realm of Nighthold. So these are the Thinlands.
So it's a realm. Got it.
Here's some traits about this area that may be important to you with your role. Shadow effects are stronger. Spells and abilities that have the shadow trait will be a little bit stronger should you use them. And then inversely, light effects are weaker. Spells and abilities with the light trait, weaker. And the whole area is dimly lit. Just perpetually shrouded in dim light. And so you wonder how artificial light or even magical light may function here.
Do you remember that show Tales from the Dark Side?
Oh, sure.
The intro, when they're like, it's like a camera like going through the forest, and it's just like, the world we know is all the light side. It's just like, but there is another world. And then like everything goes like black and white.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's making me think of. It's like, scared the shit out of me.
And now you're in it.
Now I'm in it. Dream come true.
What do you guys want to do?
Anything in my check about how time passes here relative to the Material Plane? I can also roll occultism if you want, rather me do that.
You roll a 20. You roll pretty high.
22.
22, yeah. No, it's unstable, but it's not like...
Not like the Shadow Plane.
It's not like the Shadow Plane, yeah.
So we still are on our clock.
You're still on your clock, but, you know, you have reason to believe that it may, like... be disjointed, whereas a second could be longer here, but then moments later a second could last could be shorter, or a minute could be longer or shorter. You don't know how that will affect you if you're here forever. Would you age slower? Would you age faster? You're not sure. It is chaos. It is pure chaos.
It's also tough because we don't really have a way of measuring when this gate might open again.
That was going to be my follow-up question, right. Which is, do we have any understanding when we might be able to get home?
That was not on the broken bird map.
That information was not on the bird.
Flash to your hotel room.
Are there birds?
A second bird is delivered.
Yeah.
It has the out
time. This bird was running 10 minutes fast, by the way. That gate didn't open until 9:10.
That's true. Maybe your watches were off. What was your question? Are there
birds?
You look up, you see things flying from time to time, but they don't look like birds.
How far away is the stump from us?
Might be a couple hours walk.
Oh,
hours?
Really? I thought it was in front of
it's
us.
It's enormous.
Oh.
The path that leads to it is as wide open as anything. It's almost like strangely wide open with all this foliage and nonsense and ruins around you. The path may wind, but it all leads straight to the stump and it's clear of anything.
But it's like in the distance. It's so far away.
This looks like an aisle leading to an altar.
It is calling me.
Me too.
You feel it.
I feel it.
I also feel like we shouldn't stray from this path.
Well, let's follow the path.
As we follow it a little bit, can I just take a look into the woods around us? Like do a nature check? I don't know. Sure. Like, is anything following us?
You walk into, like a little bit off the path.
Walk along the edge.
Okay. Just give me a little nature check.
See what happens. It's a natural 2.
Natural 2.
Look, trees.
So maybe everyone...
I think it's grass.
Either you all start setting off or you're still standing there gathering yourself and you walk a little bit off the path to go just get like a closer look. And you start to look into the trees and then you look down and you're back on the path.
Ooh. I try to walk off it again.
You walk off it again and it's almost like the world is twisting you back to this path. But it happens so suddenly, it doesn't make sense because it's right here within reach, like a bush or something. And then as you start to walk towards it, it's almost like it's pushing further back and the ground is pulling.
Do any of you see this?
Fascinating.
Yeah, what does she look like to us?
It looks like she's just taking about a step or two away and then just turning right back. You feel like you're walking 5-10 steps.
So you see me just, like, acting wild, but I'm just like, you guys, this is nuts.
She's caught in, like, a Matrix thing.
Have you been drinking?
The path will not let me leave it.
Really?
What?
Yes, try to leave the path.
It keeps bringing me back. Yeah, we all try to do.
We all experience the same thing. It doesn't make any sense, because also your body relative to everyone else seems to stay the same. Like, you're all being pulled together magnetically. And onto the path, but the world is shaping around you. Again, you hear that rumble beneath you. It's the world, like, reacting to your movements.
Let's head for the stump.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I think we're making the ground mad.
We're making the ground mad. You walk. This looks like a couple hours away. But as you continue on the path, and imagine, it's huge. It doesn't make any sense. It's not like, oh, that's a really big tree stump. It is like a fortress-sized tree stump, a castle-sized stump. As you walk toward it, not unlike being pulled back onto the path, it seems to be approaching you. And so the distance, which at first seemed like it was going to take a few hours, only takes about an hour before you are near it. And as you approach, the dark forest around you kind of opens up into a wide clearing of ash, gray, and twisted thorn trees. All around the base of the tree are these thorn trees with these spikes sticking out of them. Now, avoiding it is a little tricky because it's getting thicker and thicker, these thorn trees, as you get closer to the stump, but you can maneuver around them if you're careful. It even looks like there's a path leading right up to the base of the stump through these thorns, and in the clearing center squats this enormous tree stump. You look up and the top of it looks broken off at like a strange angle, and then at the base are these huge roots that like ripple through the dirt like leviathans and surf. And you see an ornate wooden door standing at ground level between two of these huge roots. And it's faintly illuminated by a little paper lantern hanging on a branch with little things zipping around inside of the lantern. You see all these thorn trees, but you do see this twisted path leads right through the thorn trees and up to the door. Let's go to the map.
A map?
Let's go to the old map.
Oh, I see.
Huh. It's so creepy and dark.
So creepy and dark. You see that those thorn trees, but you can see how there's like a little winding path that leads all the way up to a door.
Asta takes out her katana.
Yeah, rapier out.
I have my bow out.
Now, I think all of you except Brother Ramius have either dark vision or low light vision.
Low light, yeah.
Dark.
Low light.
maybe Talitha has told you, or I'm sure you came across this stuff in your reading, and you had an hour-long walk to recall what you know, but you know light functions differently here. Do you want to experiment with light?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he will cast light.
All right, you cast light on yourself, and it doesn't quite do anything.
It doesn't quite do anything.
Rather than providing you with bright light, it just sheds more dim light.
What?
More dim light?
Like it doesn't raise the level of light around you, the magical light that you cast on yourself. It effectively does nothing. You can see this emanation, but the light level does not change.
What is the light level?
Dim.
Everywhere it's dim.
Everywhere it's dim.
All right, then.
Brother Ramius, perhaps try lighting a torch?
Hold on. No, this is more powerful than a torch.
And he'll try again, and he's seeing it's just not emanating anything. Perhaps. I don't think he even carries torches.
Because of the light spell. I produce flame.
Oh.
That's magical, though, too, right?
It is, yeah.
So again, doesn't give off any light.
The light on the door, does that give off regular light?
Oh.
Yeah, the light at the door is... It actually doesn't... it doesn't provide light. You just see the flickering.
I take out a torch for my adventurer's pack.
I have a tinder twig.
Yeah, let's see.
I light the tinder twig.
Those both shed light.
I hand the torch to Brother Ramius. See?
Oh, thank you, Austin.
You know how you light a tinder twig, right?
Here we go.
Oh, boy. Very carefully.
Swipe right.
Oh.
Wow.
How
long have you been sitting on that?
Did you put that in your inventory just for this moment?
I just saw it in there. These things just come to me.
What is
weeks,
it?
Weeks
it's amazing.
30 regular and 30 bright, 30 dim? Or is it
2020? 2020.
That's what I thought.
I don't want to sound
you,
like
Asta. This is... How does it react differently to magic? I don't understand.
And he's holding the torch out from himself so it doesn't shine too much light in his eyes. But
remember how rude Brother Ramius was about that torch idea?
Is Talitha saying this?
No, that's Matthew. But it also sounds like a corporate shill. But I just want to point out that not when you stand under the branch of the tree, not only does the branch go over your character token on Foundry, but the shadow from the branch.
Holy crap.
Oh, cool. That's my goodness. I'm immersed.
Consider me immersed.
Asta says, thank you, Buggles. That was a very good idea.
Thank you.
Can everyone see?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I can. Thank you.
Yeah. With that torch now, you wouldn't have to roll against concealed, for example, where everything was in dim light.
Only if it's within 20 feet.
Asta, as you step there, and Talitha, what are your intentions?
I think Asta is very much in, survival in the woods, aware of every twig snap, and is moving towards this door with the expectation that there's trickery afoot. Just knowing the Fae, knowing Wildwood stuff, she's like, this path is too clear. They didn't want us to leave this path. Something's up.
Okay. And Talitha, what is your intent? So it's to move slowly.
Slowly in perception, just with her vulpine ears, every step she's twisting her head, trying to listen for anyone eavesdropping or trying to ambush us.
Talitha's going to keep her eyes on the ground because it was shifting the whole way here, right? So just to make sure I'm not going to trip. And also the trees, because those look like they might hit us.
Both of you roll a will save.
Ay, ay, ay.
Okay.
The other three of you roll a perception check.
Okay.
13 will.
19 will.
Natural 20.
Boom.
Same. Natural 20.
Nice. Whoa.
Come on, Joe.
Oh, natural 17.
Hey.
Wow. Not too shabaroo.
All right, here's what happens. Asta and Talitha, as you are moving 5 feet at a time, it looks like you're going very slowly, you're not just rushing forward. You're purposely trying to avoid these thorn trees. But as you step forward and take your next step. Your intention is to go forward, and both of you walk directly into these thorn trees, and you take 3 points of damage each as the thorns pierce your skin.
Talitha, careful.
Drink the potions.
What are you guys doing?
All of them.
What are you doing?
Meanwhile, Buggles, Zephyr, and Brother Ramius look ahead, and you see on that same branch where the little lantern with all those zipping things are in it, you see a creature standing there sort of proudly. And it looks like it has the body of like a skeletal owl, but its bottom half is very simian. It almost has like monkey legs and bony wings. And its eyes are two black shadowy pools.
It's the same as the other thing.
So a friend.
The umbral, the Gorgas.
A friend.
Sounds very friendly.
Roll for initiative.
Oh. Almost.
I just roll over that natty 17.
Keep those perceptions, and we'll have Asta and Talitha roll fresh. So, Brother Ramius, what is your John?
25.
25 for Brother Ramius. And then Buggles, what did you roll total?
Total, I rolled a 23.
23 for Buggles. Yeah, I want to do that more often when you have the check ready to go. And then Zephyr, what was your modified roll?
24.
24. Okay, then a fresh roll for Talitha.
9.
Whiz Talitha. Well, I mean, you're in the thorns. Of course it's going to hurt.
I got whacked by a thorn bird.
Yep, that's very distracting. And then Asta.
14.
14. This all made story sense. Now, here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to move Talitha into a thorn, and I'm going to move Asta into a thorn. And the way it works is basically if there's no thorns in the space, you're safe. So you see it's a very thin walkway. Now, the ones where it's like a hair's length, if you look like moving from that space there, if you look on the map, diagonally up is really the only safe way to get through that middle. There's like one point where the branches are reaching towards each other. And you see like the only way to get through that on your way to the door is to move diagonally. So I'm not going to hold you over the coals. You can always ask me, hey, is this a dangerous space? And I can tell you the point of this, especially for our audio listeners, is it's pretty tricky between you and this creature, which I'll show you now. You see the pawn there, but let's get a good look at this son bitch.
Aww. He's really cute.
He looks like a baby.
Look at his little legs.
He looks like a baby.
He's got little furry legs.
It's like a baby bird.
Yeah, it looks like a baby of whatever it should be.
With monkey legs.
Yeah,
with monkey legs.
And it's dead.
It's a bird that fell out of the nest you see on the street, except it has monkey legs.
That looks alive to me.
It's a bird you see on the street, except it has monkey legs.
Yeah. Well, no, you walk down the street, you see a bird like fell out of its nest, a little baby bird.
And void eyes.
And void eyes.
And you stomp on it as hard as you can.
Yeah, because it has monkey legs.
Yeah. Because it has monkey legs. That's why you do it.
You cannot suffer a mutant to live.
All right. So, oh my God, look at Austin and Talitha under the things. All right. We'll have the monkey shadow owl go first.
Is that what it's called?
That's what I have.
Monkey shadow owl.
The old monkey shadow owl will go first. And we're going to do a two action John. Basically, let me see. Right. Perfect. Right next to Asta, there is this like burst effect that happens where all of you see out of your peripheral vision, they weren't there a second ago, these visions that are like churning with corpses and worms running through the eye sockets and body holes in the body of the corpses, and then like monsters coming out of the shadows around you to pounce on both you and the corpses. Everybody give me a will save.
Oh, hey. No.
A will.
Oh, come on, Norse Foundry, you sons of bitches! Will save.
Am I entangled or anything?
Come on, you sponsor.
You are not entangled.
You dumb sponsor.
Yeah, married a sponsor.
What did everybody roll, starting with Ramius?
28.
28, that is a success, half damage.
Jesus. 20, dirty 20.
Success, half damage.
22.
Success, half.
Dirty 20.
Dirty 20, so let's see, our success half?
25.
All right, so all success half, you're all going to take 6 points Holy. Of mental damage as these visions seem all too real coming towards you. And I've got one actione left that it just kind of like moves ever so slightly on the branch in which it's standing on, kind of like peacocking, like sidles to the side on its branch. And it is Brother Ramius's turn.
Okay. Brother Ramius is he like shrinks away from all these things that seem to be coming at him, and he can feel the damage that's being done to him, and he's just going to pray for the Keeper's intercession here, and he's just going to be like, do not fear them, do not fear what they make you think is there. It's not, you are protected, you are protected by the Keeper and his guidance. And I'm going to heal everybody. I'm going to burst heal after that initial hit. So he's going to use a full three-action heal to do an aura of healing for everybody and heal 8 hit points for everybody.
Nice. Beautiful. Thank
so max
you.
Heal. That was awesome. I was so worried there was going to be a 1. So he just channels, basically. Great. So everybody gets 8 hit points back.
That's Thank helpful. You.
All right.
That is his turn.
That is your turn. And now it goes to Zephyr.
All right, so we have line of sight through the thorns. I want to get within 50 feet of this dumb bird, and I'm just outside of it, so I'm going to move. Oops.
Let me ask you this. What is your will save?
My will save?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like the plus and minus?
Yeah, the old bone for your
will. Plus and minus. Minus.
Yeah.
What's the minus? Listen.
You have a negative will save?
No. I'm an expert in all my wills, all my saves. Plus 6.
Plus 6? Okay. You can move as you wish.
That's what I thought.
That's what I thought, motherfucker.
I'm going to move up like 15 feet or so that I'm within half my first range increment of my longbow.
Okay.
Get into monastic archer stance. She focuses in, hunkers down, has her bow aimed at this monstrosity, and fires 2 shots. How do I play this game again? First one is an 11.
No. Nope.
Sweet.
Now we know.
The next one is a 20.
That one nice. Hits. It right. finds its way through all of these twisted thorns and hits.
Ooh, max damage.
Nice.
8 points of damage.
Nice.
8 points of damage. Okay, so you hit this thing and it squeals out with a sound that doesn't sound good.
Did all that seem to go through? Did all that seem to go through?
It
looks swallowed by gither? Okay.
Looks pretty good.
It's made of the same stuff from where we're from, so. Doesn't sound like it, but I swear it is.
Is that your final action?
Yes, that's okay. All I got.
All right, so Zephyr does hit the thing, and now it is Buggles' turn.
Buggles is. He's going to stretch his finger out, and boom, a ray of ice cold frost shoots at him.
Ooh, ray of frost. Okay, Buggles is in the back end of the party here next to Brother Ramius, 70 feet away from the creature, shoots a ray of frost.
24.
And hits.
Yes! Wow.
Phenomenal.
Yes! Oh, man. And max damage, 8 points of damage.
Another 8
max
points
max,
of damage.
Max.
It's a bunch of beasts right now.
Heck yeah.
We're ready.
And with my third action, I'm going to do a shield. So boom, boom, like magic shield in front of me.
Magic shield, Asta. What is your intentions with my encounter?
I have been trying to see what's possible for me. I can do range stuff, but it's too far, so Asta has to move. She's going to move out.
What is your will bonus?
Plus 6.
You go to move out. How many feet were you moving? 15, 20?
You know what? I was going to take a 5-foot step. Just a quick... I know it's not a thing, but she was going to move 5 feet
mm-hmm.
away from the tree.
Okay.
And try to orient herself.
And what happens is you move actually to a safe square, but not the square you were hoping to. You are compelled to move in a different direction, and you just take a 5-foot step south as opposed to away.
Okay. I'm then... Okay. I feel like you get the feeling of like you're going to throw up, like when this happens, you know? Like
it's very disoriented.
Spun around.
I feel like I'm going to throw up.
She takes a second, and then she... goes to move again. She wants to move next to Zephyr to kind of ground herself.
Okay, and you have a +6. All right, that time you are able to move with ease. Kind of feel like you're lost in the dark.
I thought it was just like our modifier was what made it okay, but you're rolling for us every time we move.
As you're standing there, you notice that Brother Ramius's light that's emanating off of him like stops at the edge of a certain area as you get closer to the trees. And so it should emanate all the way around you. It's not something I can replicate on the VTT, but it just kind of stops at weird angles and just seems like, dim light beyond where it should be bright for him. All of you with dim and dark vision doesn't bother you, but it's very disconcerting and would make you hesitant to sort of move into that.
Are you going to count, since I'm making these movements in pieces, I assume you're...
You have one action left.
Okay, that's what you're doing.
that's what it wants me to do, yeah.
So, okay, I'm going to try to then move...
Oh, this is debilitating.
Yeah, this sucks.
Got to do ranged. You have to do
ranged. I'm not in range. I cannot do any range. She's too far away. Or it's too far away. I'm going to move 10 feet.
10 feet which way?
I'm going to move 10 feet towards the creature still along the path, moving past Zephyr. See if that works.
And so you were next to Zephyr.
Mm-hmm.
You actually move 10 feet right back into the thorns.
Oh, my God.
And you take 8 points of piercing.
Oh, my God.
No. Oh, no.
You just hear Asa scream as she runs directly back into the thorn bush.
What are you doing? What are you guys doing?
That must have been the most terrifying turn.
Jesus.
Right back into the thorns.
What a waste. Sorry, guys. Okay, that's my turn.
That was tricky. That was very unlucky. It is Talitha's turn.
Okay, Talitha is going to...
I looked at you. It is Talitha's turn.
Make the choice.
Eight.
Talitha is going to step out of the thorns.
Mm-hmm. What is your will save?
+7.
You actually step deeper in and take 7 points of piercing
God.
Damage.
All right. All right.
This is awful.
Can I shoot from Inthanir? Do I have a line of sight on you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. I was drawing my hand crossbow as I moved. I will now devise a stratagem.
Okay.
On this thing.
Shout out to Norse Foundry for making this combat.
I will not be taking the shot.
Very much in my favor.
But I will, however, take my known weakness to give myself a free recall knowledge.
Ooh, you want to do nature or some sort of lore? Maybe an applicable lore?
Scouting lore? Nature it is. Okay, 17.
There is something Gorga-esque about its appearance, but is actually not high enough to know more about what this specific creature is. Those eyes, those are Gorga eyes.
Yeah.
So you wonder, does it have the same abilities as a Gorga? Is it a Gorga? You don't know.
Okay, I don't know, but I'm not going to take my shot, so that's my turn.
That's your turn.
Well, you know what? I have an extra action then. I moved, I devised a stratagem, and I will try to move out of the thorns again.
Okay. Don't do that!
And you move
yell.
Anywhere you want with these.
Okay, I move to stand next to Zephyr.
Okay, so you get...
How you move out of the thorns.
I did it once successfully.
Am I in a safe space where I'm standing on the map?
Yeah, you are in a safe space, we'll say.
You're in a safe space, Matthew.
You're in a safe space.
Always in a safe space.
Thanks, guys.
Until the top of round 2, where it is my turn again, and things are about to get nasty right after this quick break.
Oh, jeez.
Nastier?
I'd like to take a second to talk about our incredible sponsor, NordVPN. Look, when we go on tour, we end up booking a lot of flights and a lot of hotels and a lot of rental cars and stuff like that. And a lot of people don't know that the costs associated with those things can have a bit of a price discrimination thing going on. They can be more expensive in one region or country than another. And that's why I use NordVPN to change my virtual location so I can see if what I'm booking is cheaper in another area. It's just something that I'll poke around doing when I'm in the airport already and I'm killing time planning planning for like the next trip or when I'm on the train here to the studio. I was just doing it for our Toronto flights. It takes seconds to change your location, and even a technologically disadvantaged old man like myself can easily switch your virtual location over and over with ease. The bottom line, it takes a few seconds and it has the potential to save you money. You like saving money, right? So why not give it a shot? NordVPN helps us do it, and you could get it working for you at a discount. To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/GCP. Our link will give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support your old buddies at the GCP. The link is in the episode description box.
First thing that happens, it moves again along its branch, kind of like diagonally to the south, so to like the southwest. However, as it does so, that dim light that is cutting up against your non-magical torch like overtakes it, and you are now bathed in dim light. Although behind you, you still are getting, or yeah, you're bathed in dim light. Behind you, you have light, but you can't see ahead of you. Everything is kind of dim. You can kind of see, but it's a little shadowy. As it moves, there is some sort of aura that is moving with it. And then once again, a burst appears that will affect.
Did you move it on the map?
I can see it, but you can't.
The creature?
No, I didn't move the creature yet. I'm talking about the aura. There.
Did the creature move?
No, I just moved it there.
So it only moved like a little bit.
Yeah, I just moved to a the tiny southwest. Little bit. Okay. Just to you know, it's moving its aura basically, and then a burst is going to happen that will affect Asta, Talitha, and Zephyr. Same thing. You're seeing more corpses. It's kind of like, what is that movie? Is it Night of Living Dead, where like the skeletons come up out of the ground around the woman?
It was the day that the skeletons came to
No, I guess that's not, it's not.
The bones are the money.
Poltergeist at the end. Oh, Poltergeist, yeah. It's kind of like that. You're surrounded by these corpses, but then monsters trying to eat you to turn you into corpses or also to eat the corpses. Give me a...
Either way, it sounds terrifying.
It's horrible. Give
You're
me a little...
You're going to pull your hair up, but not out.
Up, but not out.
Natural 20.
Hey!
That's what we needed. Hey-o.
Yeah.
What'd you get there, Sid?
45.
All right. Skid?
Oh. Me too.
No.
Not
Buggles.
Zephyr.
Zephyr.
No.
13.
Oof.
13 is going to be 10 points of mental damage, and Austin, you will take 5.
Man.
You're able to shake it off a little bit better than her, but you are terrified by this. In fact, as you look down, is that Ollie's corpse being like infested with worms and things lurking in the darkness to grab you and bring you back to your friend? It is now... Brother Ramius's turn. Brother Ramius,
foul creature.
You're not in darkness, but it is like it. Well, you could see. There's a religious metaphor here. You could see, but now you cannot. I don't have it.
Once was once blind, but see. Now you can see.
Yeah, sure.
But now you are blind.
Yeah. Come on, priest.
Man. Okay. He's going to try to discern what this thing is through the dim light as he sees his companions probably, grabbing their head. He knows the vision that they saw. He just saw it a moment ago. I'm going to do a knowledge check, knowledge nature on this thing to see if I can determine if there's any defense against this beyond just prayer. That could be good, Dilvally. That could actually be half decent in terms of knowledge. Stalling.
I know.
That is a 22.
That is good. This is, in fact, a type of Gorga known as an oculi.
Oh.
Makes sense.
And oculi Gorgas embody the fear of being lost in the dark.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
That's really scary.
Say it again.
They embody the fear of being lost in the dark.
So that's what embodiment. They're giving us.
That's
with
what
these
they're
corpses?
Giving. Those, they're giving you the fear of, like, you're walking through the darkness and finding corpses, having monsters come up behind you, but also
things from in your periphery, the things you just can't see coming.
Yeah,
and trying to walk where you want to go, but getting lost and walking in a wrong direction. That is what they.
You turn off the lights and you run up the stairs when you're little, and you're like, "Oh, there's demons chasing
me!" Through the staircase.
Yeah,
grab your ankles.
Yep.
So whereas the Temagur Gorgas that you fought, their whole thing was like eating your shadows, oculi, they focus on like what you can see, the eye, and twisting shadows to their chaotic
cool concept.
Yeah, it is a cool concept.
Very cool. And terrifying.
Mm-hmm. And terrifying.
Don't believe it. Trust your own minds. It's using your fears against you. That creature. May the light banish you.
And he's going to cast a divine lance at the creature.
Okay. Does this have the light descriptor? Because you would already know from Talitha that this might not do what you intend for it to do.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if it
I want to ask because you would have this information. You know that it will be weaker if it does.
Oh, that was very generous of you, Troy.
Well,
it does not. It does not have the light descriptor.
And you're all right.
Okay, so that is going to be a success on the flat and then an 18 to hit.
That hits.
Ah.
There. Okay.
Thank God. All right, fantastic.
That's a big one.
Yes.
That is a big one.
That is a big one, and it'll do 6 points of spirit damage.
Ooh.
So we're doing a little remaster action
spirit
here.
Damage.
I'm on my new Debbie plane, John.
A little damage l'esprit.
Spirit damage. So now Divine Lance at 2d4 is the damage with no bonus and spirit damage. So yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. So Brother Ramius comes through. His god evidently can hear him even in Nighthold. It's Zephyr's turn. Zephyr, what do you want to do?
All right. I'm still in my monastic archer stance. It didn't move out of my first half of my range increment, so that's good. Before I take another shot, I want to try to do a knowledge check on it to see, I don't know, is it weak to anything? Weaknesses.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be a knowledge nature.
Ooh,
give her the
good.
Old family feud. Good answer, good answer.
Good answer.
I mean, wait, I mean, I got a successful check, like... All I know is kind of what it is.
I'm sorry, you're right. Let's save you that check. You would know that it's weak to cold iron.
Cool.
Which in first edition, everyone had.
Right.
No, yeah, one, no one has.
Weak to cold iron.
We always just kind of.
Were the Gorgas?
My katana just happens to be.
I think they were.
I don't want to torture you on that. I just didn't know if you knew off the top of your head, but.
You know, I'm remembering.
I'm just trying to really just flavor way to say that. You know, it's weak to the same thing as the Gorgas.
Tim Gears. Yeah, they were weak to cold iron, but these creatures are actually weaker because they're more powerful.
Ah, that's how it balances it.
Tim Gears.
Yeah, so they're weak to cold iron if we have any. Do we have any?
Not that I know of.
When I used to build characters in first edition, I would always
it was
have
like
a cold
30
iron.
Gold pieces or something.
Cost much.
Like
make everything gold iron.
Well, okay, so I guess I didn't do that. I didn't make
that save
check.
That.
Yeah,
okay.
See, this is kind of stupid. It's like things we should, you know, like knowing we were might be crossing over into this plane.
Yeah.
Like we should just have someone should have a cold iron dagger.
We went to the library and everything.
Yeah, we should just like bought one.
Snailfoot had an entire
courage planning lunch as characters instead of just sitting down with the tactics.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you think Finland's Farms had a cold iron weapon shop?
Flashback to the Quaking Stacks as you're going to the library tree. Oh, by the way, someone gave me a set of cutlery that I don't need. They're all cold iron steak knives.
Thank
perfect.
Cold iron should be really rare, though, because it's like it's supposed to be meteoric iron, like iron that fell to Earth in the form of a meteorite. So you shouldn't be able to have it that readily anyway, I think.
Shit, you would not make it into a steak.
Right, exactly.
Blue Eye Samurai.
You know what? Next store you stop at, grab yourself some cold iron.
First thing I'm going to do.
Cold iron arrow tips?
I'm going to take 2 shots at it, at least, with my flurry of blows.
Pew, pew!
Use my dice this time.
What were you using before?
My roller on because I can't do math.
Just really making up numbers.
I was just reading bones.
I was using Demiplane.
I was just reading bones.
Our sponsor, like Demiplane, and their roller. Which maybe right, I'll
just
go back to doing that.
I'm going
to
randomly tell you between 120, 17.
The tea leaves say 13.
14 for the first one, which is not a hit.
Skamiss.
Ooh, 20 for the second one.
Shebang.
All
right, all one hit Zephyr.
It's only 2 points
that's
of damage.
Just rude.
No, she had 2 shots. All right, so boom, 2 points of damage. Do you have another action, Yone?
Yeah, that was only my first action. I guess I'll take one more.
Is that range increment hurting you right now?
Maybe it will be my worst range increment, but I mean, I guess I want it.
Like your map will be worse, but are you getting penalized by the range right now?
No, okay. I have a longbow.
Oh yeah.
So no.
Great.
But I also want to know if I can do some sort of like aid for Talitha or Asta. I guess Asta, because you're really deep in there for your next.
Don't when worry
you try
about
to
me.
Move.
Yeah.
She's fine.
She's like hooked on the thorns.
Yeah, my robe is like in the tree. I'm like, I'm good.
You want to help?
I'm just going to head right over there.
Somehow be like,
I like, do you want to aid to like help her navigate her way back?
Like help you navigate like actually directions or try to give you like a mental stamina boost where it's like, I know you can do it.
For my will.
Her reaction would be to roll something. Obviously, the DC is base 20. I could change that to try and help you on your will save against whatever's happening.
But you're rolling my will save.
I am.
Okay. I don't trust you.
I know.
And what? Whatever.
I'm keeping it straight.
I'm sure you are.
It makes it a lot easier.
It actually does.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so that would be... You can do that. You can aid your
I don't
one
know if
action.
You can aid a save, but like in this case, it makes sense, perfect sense to me to just like say you can.
You can aid a skill check or an attack roll, right?
Yeah, like the aid action does not pertain to saves.
If you aid my attack
but
roll,
in this
I'm going to attack... Next.
Yeah, I think it could.
She's, the action you're trying, I mean,
as it seems like it ruins the encounter to not allow
it. It's not an escape. The thing is, I'm trying to escape, but it's not a skill check to escape. It's a will save.
Yeah, saving throws fell under skill check, how like AC is DC, then I would allow it. But as written, it does not want you.
So do it on my attack, okay. And I'll just give me a boon to my. I'm going to attack, so.
All right, so in between my hits, I want to try to help you boost your attack. Like, listen, you can shoot through the trees. We all have line of sight on the thing. I don't know what kind of stuff you can do ranged, but I believe in you.
Thanks, I'll do
and
that.
And then I try to take one more hit at my worst map. Nope, it's a 5.
Shapion. Okay, it is now Boggle's turn.
Boggle.
I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
So... we haven't really moved to the remaster completely yet. We haven't adopted all the changes.
Yeah, you might say we're still moving through that curtain that's been torn in the...
Exactly. Continuum. That's a great metaphor, Joe. So there are some rules, especially for the psychic, that are quite different. The spells that I use, the cantrip attack spells that I use, are completely different. One of them would be more useful here now than the other one.
Right.
There's another thing that is because I have the oscillating wave conscious mind for my psychic, which requires that each on alternating rounds, like alternating attacks, I either like basically use like fire damage or cold damage. I have to use if I use fire damage one round, I have to use cold damage the next. So I've been using it as like I have like produce flame and ray of frost. So I do. If I do produce flame one round, use ray of frost the next one. But I'm not sure that that's actually the requirement. It just says that you have to remove energy in one spell and add it in the next and say it's cold, say it's fire. I don't know if I can use like everything else that is described in the spell for produce flame, for example, and just say that it's cold damage. I don't know.
Oh, that's
not really made clear as far as I can tell. Because one is in range and one isn't. One I can use, one I can't.
All right, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah,
just really opened a garden of penises.
I thought it made perfect sense. It was perfect.
What did everyone picture in their head in that moment?
This is a question I've been wanting to ask for a while, but it hasn't really come up.
Right, you waited until Thanksgiving dinner to bring it up.
Uncle Skid, shut up.
Who are you guys voting for in the upcoming election?
Yeah, all right, so this is hard. It's something we really, it probably seems crazy we haven't really discussed it. It's just because I'm trying to avoid it as long as possible. I think
that's not typical for you at all.
Yeah, I know. I think we're eventually going to just be like, yes, we've updated to the remaster. I just want to make sure we're still good on everything else before we jump forward to that. Yeah. You know, at the same time,
also,
I don't want to.
We were talking earlier that some of the stuff is not like remaster stuff. It's errata. Like the psychic class has changed.
Right.
Some of the rules have changed.
Yeah, it
so
really
I'm not
affects
sure
you more
that
than
affects
it
me.
Joe.
So So I'm not sure, like, when you're going to want me to, like, switch over to that as well. So
yeah, we're getting close. You know, what I'm not interested in is, like, now Burning Hands is cozy fucking touch. You know, I'm not going to, I don't want to do that.
Cozy touch?
Yeah. Hot touch.
Hot touch or something. Dumb. No.
I like cozy touch. You're in the heat of battle against a Gorga, and you're like,
cozy touch.
Cozy touch. Cozy touch. Well, it's probably less damage, so it might be a little cozier.
Cozy touch. Cozy touch.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. It's going to ruin everything. But I think, we'll hold off on the larger discussion. On the smaller discussion, seems like, because I'm looking at this here, and man, you can already see that, like, there's PFS notes. If you want to play a psychic, don't. It says in PFS play. But it feels like the intention is for you to be able to produce cold flame and do hot rays of frost. I mean, because why would you be able to add why would the ability gains the fire trait to spells that already have the fire trait? Yeah. I think you're supposed to be able to change those traits. And I don't know, that seems kind of cool.
Yeah, I'd say, like, I think really I've been unnecessarily hindering myself by insisting that I have to, like, use the fire spell on one turn and the ice spell the next turn, where I probably could have been just using either one of those spells as a fire spell or an ice spell.
That's what it sounds like.
So, in fact,
to me, it sounds a lot more like what the psychic is actually doing. You're manipulating the reality of itself. So you're taking the fire out of the fire spell and making it a cold spell using, you know, that's really cool.
Yeah, I like that. If anyone else out there knows any different, let me know.
Yeah, please. And the professor will let us know as well. But what's cool is, like, right now at the table, we're all sort of on the same page here. Yeah. That's all that really matters.
So,
anyway, the reason that I brought it up in the first place is because I'm like 70 feet away from this thing, and my produce flame, which I have to use a fire spell on this turn, only goes 30 feet, whereas my ray of frost goes 180 feet. So
ray of flame,
ray of flame,
ray of flame,
hot ray,
hot ray,
so, hot ray, hot baby ray.
So this,
ray. I'm changing your name on my phone to hot ray.
Hot ray. Fine, I insist. You all call me hot ray from now on. When I'm wearing the cape, please call me hot ray.
Hey, is that hot ray?
Francis. So you hear the Buggle's voice, like, changes into a different person.
No.
You hear the voice of Ku'ulu Khan, and boom, this globe of cinders, like, erupts around him, and Hotronatak! And he fires a ray of thin flame at the creature.
Ooh, that's, like, so cool.
That, like, blue part of the match?
Yeah. 12 to hit.
Glad we did that.
It's the first time.
It was the first time.
Thorn branch behind it bursts into blue flames.
It was so cool.
It was cool.
Yeah,
it's like it.
And
freezes that little branch.
Yeah. And I'm going to raise my shield.
Shield comes back up. It is Asta's turn. Asta, what do you want to do?
I want to get out of this fucking bramble.
Okay. How many feet do you want to move, and
no,
what direction?
You shut your mouth.
That's what I need to know.
I am casting a spell.
Oh.
Yeah, guess what?
Okay.
So, actually, this is really cool about the magus.
We'll be the judge of that.
This is really cool. So, as a magus, because you are a weapon fighter and you're also a spellcaster, you don't need to necessarily have a hand free to cast your spell. You can two-weapon fight because you can replace... I'm going to read it verbatim. So
two-weapon fight or two-hand fight?
Two-hand.
I don't believe you.
Because you can draw replacement sigils with the tip of your weapon or your free hand for spells requiring material components. And you can replace them with somatic. So you basically take away the, like, material manipulate stuff, replace it with somatic, so you can whip around your weapon, just move it in the air and speak instead of needing to, like, do, you know, hand sigils.
It sounds really cool. It sounds like something a magus should be able to do.
But I'm just saying it so nobody yells at me when I say I'm always
holding
steal
my...
You.
Not us.
What's
you don't need a free hand to cast somatic components. I'm trying to figure out what is special about this thing.
Requiring material components.
Which we never
can replace. Which we don't really worry about. But
which
yeah,
you don't worry about, but it's cool. It's like a cool thing because it would nerf a magus. Because I was wondering that. I was like, okay, if I'm always holding my katana, you know, how do I
then
do this?
Then I have
this?
To bring out a bundle of clovers.
Let me put my katana back in and then crush some
elderflies wings.
Elderflies wings. What is this power called? Just for
it's nothing. It's just something that I wanted to say because I was confused.
I just made it up.
I was confused.
What is the power called?
No.
Oh, it's an ability they
I'm
can do?
I'm just saying. I'm stuck in Bramble. I'm holding my katana, and I'm able to still cast spells.
Troy wants to Google this.
It That's doesn't.
No, I just want to know if it has a
You
cool
read
name.
Text. What's the...
It's the Magus. It is in their character
What's
description.
What's the heading of the...
I don't know. I copy-pasted it.
Because you're a Magus, you can draw replacement Thank sigils you. With the tip of your jaw or your free hand for spells requiring material components, replacing them with somatic components instead of needing a material component pouch.
It's just cool for a character of this type. I thought it was interesting. I dove really deep into the Magus class, and I was like, this is actually very dope that they thought about all this stuff.
The header is Arcane Spellcasting.
Thank you, Arcane Spellcasting.
Very cool.
Thank you to listener Kat for giving us this book. This is a Secrets of Magic Pocket Edition, but as a little flavor, she whited out the last sentence of every spell in the spell tag.
Are you serious?
That is amazing.
Stop.
Wow.
You
so now you're not going to read the penultimate sentence.
Oh my God, because that is incredible. It really is every spell, the last sentence is whited out.
They I was know. Like, that's my spell casting.
Thank you so much for this. It's very generous. And
it's
also
so
kind of a dig.
So easy to not read the last sentence.
That's so because it easy. Always the last it's never good.
That changes everything. Yeah.
The last sentence
everything.
Never helps.
They never
you.
Save the great part of the spell for the last sentence.
This is a non-combat spell.
Anyway. I cast from the Bramble Slashing Gust.
Slashing Ooh. Who?
Slashing what?
Slashing Gust to go I with Hot Ray?
Slash my hand.
Hot Ray and Slashing Gust.
This season's favorite new buddy comedy.
We're too wild and crazy guys.
Pass the silly threshold for the session.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Tango and Dash Pathfinder.
I'm making a spell attack.
All right.
There's, your, great. There's your title.
Slashing Gust.
And I aided you.
I'm already putting it in.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta write it down.
That doesn't matter. Rolled a natural 2.
Oh, boy.
I didn't hit.
Oh, boy.
We are kings and queens of furious description.
God!
Terrible rolls.
Wait, what's my ritual? Can I do something? No.
How many actions was that?
Probably 2.
2.
All right.
So, anyway, I tried to do that. For my third action, I go into my arcane stance. I go into my arcane cascade stance.
Ooh.
So I'll get a 5-foot status bonus to my speeds.
Yeah.
Next round.
Speeds?
Like my speed.
You should use your fly speed in this encounter. That would be cool.
It'd be a full nut.
Could I swim out of the bramble?
You should use burrow.
Yeah.
Get away from these thorns.
Although, before I do this, am I going to take more damage by being here, or is it only because I walked?
Just moving about the thorns.
Okay.
Seems to be causing the damage.
So that's my turn. I fail. I was going to do a cool
Asta! Stop moving about the thorns!
Stay put!
I'm using my speeds! I'm gonna get out!
Like you're just dancing in the thorns.
Just like this, with the tassels.
With my tassels.
Talitha.
This is so weird.
It is your turn.
My turn? Okay, devise a stratagem.
Devise it.
Okay, there we go. That's a natural 18, so I will take a shot with my hand crossbow, which I assume with a 24 will hit.
Yes, it will.
Okay. What to do? I'm going to roll my new Matthew D6.
Ah, that one's not broken.
No, that one did not get broken. Okay, that is 5 points of damage.
Okay, chip, chip, chip it away.
Chip a ruin away.
And then I will... Ooh. Oh, and you and an extra D6 for the strategic strike.
Oh, don't forget that.
So an extra 6 points of damage.
Oh, my lord.
Fuck
you, die.
Don't you get another... Oh, you already tried to recall knowledge, so it doesn't matter anymore. Like, you can't
I assume try it. I can't roll the same knowledge on it, right? Like, once I've done it, and I got some, I got...
You failed on it. I think you're not supposed to roll once you fail on it.
Yeah, like that's a 1E rule. I don't know if it's the same in 2E, but it should be.
Yeah. We can play loser-goose with it.
Yeah. Except that we lost an action.
Well, no, that he gets a heart, like, when he hits, right?
With when I use Devise a Stratagem, I get a free recall.
Oh, well, you already did.
I feel like we talked about this on fodder. Like, the intention is, like, if you fail a knowledge check, you're not supposed to roll again, or unless
something materially has changed.
Right.
Yeah, your access to that knowledge.
Okay.
But it's like, sometimes you don't remember pertinent facts right away. Like,
yeah.
You have to keep thinking about it. So that could represent, like, a continued attempt to try to, like, remember something.
Skid, you're being realistic. Huh? And you know we frowned upon.
Get that out of here.
Okay.
Because of this this shared
wearing
stratagem.
I'm wearing a cape.
Listen to me.
It's I'm like wearing a
three
cape.
Ep, cape situation. Maybe longer.
So comfortable. I'm sorry.
No, you're on. Please, I want to hear more about the cape because the cape is wonderful. But anyway, Zephyr, the creature is now flat-footed to you until the start of my next turn.
Oh, huge, huge. Where Zephyr's been struggling over there.
Huge.
I've hit it every time.
I'm just saying. You missed a couple. Let's be honest.
I could hit it harder.
Yep, you sure could.
Get a crit.
I would hit it there. And I point.
All right.
And then final action, reload the crossbow.
Final action, reload the crossbow. Top of round three, it is the Oculi Gorga's turn. Man, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We are going to continue to move a little bit. It's just like taunting you in its movements. It's very creepy. Again, you're now that darkness. I don't want to say darkness, but that ability for you to see clearly is now behind you as well. So you look behind you and there's like still a little more space between you and the light you're emanating.
So creepy.
Doesn't make sense.
This would make an awesome graphic novel right now. This section.
And now a burst is going to happen right next to Buggles and Brother Ramius. Both of you give me a will save.
Try and steal my mind against your deceptions.
Horribleness. Brother Ramius, you're seeing these burning bodies from the Abbey.
From the Abbey, my friends.
Things creeping out to get you, and Buggles, whatever scares you most. Ponies, horses coming in the brush near you. What did you guys roll?
25 for me.
18 for Buggles.
25 and an 18 is going.
Come on.
13 points to Buggles, 6 points to Brother Ramius. Jeez. This mental damage. This thing is just getting into your mind, using its shadowy talons to scrape at your cerebellum. Brother Ramius, what do you do?
He's going to continue this attempt. I mean, he hit it last time, so he'll try again. He's going to try to cast his Divine Lance at it. Bam! Come on, man. Ho, ho, ho. 5 on the flat check.
Oh, get that out of the way.
Woo!
DC 5. Nice.
Where's that Norse Foundry, John? Come on. Come on. Come on, baby. That's not going to do it. Well, it might. Actually, it might. Shut up. 17.
Yes.
I think it's AC 18.
Yeah, it's 18.
It's AC 18. All right.
I'll say it's a 17 missed and an 18 hit.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. That's, yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Said too much.
All right. So and he's trying to look through it. And the Divine Lance sneaks by. Asta, we need your blade.
I know.
And he is going to pray for the Keeper's guidance for you. So he'll cast guidance on you, which can be used for a will save.
Bless.
If you so desire. That's going to be plus one.
Plus one.
Okay.
To anything you want. One thing on your turn.
Yeah, if you could just succeed enough to close on this thing, it would help.
Huge.
In the meantime, it's Zephyr's turn. This thing is flat-footed for one attack or one round?
Just to Zephyr until my next turn.
Okay, great. Awesome. So every attack, it's going to be flat-footed.
Here we go. Flurry of blows. I'm coming for you.
I'm sorry, no.
No?
The next attack the designated ally makes against that creature before the start of my next turn.
Stop reading that book with the white up.
And the flurry of blows is one action. So I think it should count to both of them.
What does it say?
The next attack.
It would just be the first one because the other
Make
one takes
two unarmed
the map.
Strikes.
If the other one didn't take the map, I'd give it to you.
All right, well.
It's out of my hands. It's the remaster.
That was not
blame the remaster.
I'm just going to say that now. Whenever I want to make you know.
Take it up with the remaster.
Take it up with Eric Mona.
Eric Mona.
14.
Poop.
Salad.
Oh, 14 is a miss.
Why was that a question?
Because I forgot. Kate,
why didn't you just lie?
Okay, why didn't you say 18? We know what the AC is.
You can just do that?
No, it's frowned upon.
Wait.
Yes, it is.
Do
it
you
is
guys lie?
Upon. In the remaster, it's fine.
Yeah. They say the last sentence is...
The last sentence of the remaster
Well, now that I do that...
Pick up your die rolls.
Let me roll my dice for my second attack.
We could lie. Lucky would still be alive.
Ooh, it's a natural 3.
Oh,
all right.
God, ice cold.
I should have given it to you.
These streaks, they happen. They happen.
Yes, what a hit.
So, all right, so that was one action. I just tried to do flurry of blows on it. Not working. I want to try to aid someone before I make my third and final attack, I guess.
Well, aid is a reaction, so you can just do it when someone is about to do something.
You just have to set the action aside. So you say, I'm going to aid so-and-so.
Okay. I guess... I can't aid against will saves. So what I want to do is help, like, when these bad things happen with, like, the dead bodies, but those are all will saves. I guess, Talitha, I'll throw the aid right back at you. Maybe it'll be caught on your turn. So I'll save an action for that.
When I attack.
One more hit. At a negative 10, it's a 5.
Man.
I can imagine, like, yes, I'm giving this to you as a clear shot. I think there are probably GMs that would be like, I don't know, the branch
totally.
Bonus, but I'm giving it to you. And it's just still not happening.
The
dice won't let you.
It's a negative 10, but I still get my plus 8. So it's still gonna miss. It's a 13.
Yeah, you're trying to get through these branches.
This is why I use the thorns. Online roller, sponsored by Demiplane.
Demiplane.
Because I can't
math.
Do math.
Yeah. Math.
We're also sponsored by a dice company.
Kate. So,
I do the math that I can't do with North Foundry.
Our newest sponsor, TI-81. Buggles, you
Texas
are
Texas Instruments.
Okay, so I'm still possessed by the... this other being, the Ku'ulu.
And Brother Ramius, by the way, is like, I don't know how often he's been this close to it. Maybe not yet, because you've only done this like twice, maybe, right?
I've done it a few times. But yeah, I mean, if you are like close to him, like it literally feels like a ghost has replaced who you knew as Buggles.
When you were both on the rope at the gnome compound, he was doing that below you.
Just like, yeah. you're giving us an analogous experience to when this happens to our goblin compatriot.
Right.
And the real world analogy was a ghost replaced your goblin compatriot.
But it is. It's like in The Exorcist when Linda Blair, it's Linda Blair. It's like, oh, wait, now it's not Linda Blair. Like, that's what it feels like.
It's not like Buggles got angry. Like, it seems like Buggles is not even
possessed.
There anymore.
Yeah.
There is no Buggles.
It's the Lou Ferrigno to your Bill Bixby.
Exactly. So, Buggles, the cloud around him, this aura changes into ice and frost. He, cursing, and this other voice fires again. That's better. That's 24 to hit.
Hit.
Okay, that is 6 points of cold damage. I get 3 temporary hit points back.
Huge.
Okay. And then with my third action, who is most hurt? Who's hurt besides me?
I'm hurt also.
I'm hurt.
Okay.
I'm 8 points down. You're probably
just Asta's hurt. The most hurt, I think.
Ow.
In the thorns.
You had to put a number on it.
If I had to put a number on it, let me just scroll up. I'm at, I think, 12 hit points.
Okay. So, again, you feel... Actually, this might be the first time for Asta, but you feel this... You feel Buggles, his presence in you, in your mind, saying this. It's like, it's all right. Keep fighting. And you get 6 hit points back.
Thank you.
As I use my Restore the Mind ability.
So cool.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it.
It's great. All right, Asta, you have an opportunity. You've been blessed by the Keeper. Your mind has been restored by Buggles. You have struggled to try and move in the direction with which you want to move, and it is hampering the entire encounter.
So now that I've done my Arcane Cascade, I get that +5 status bonus to my speed.
Yeah.
I can make it to him in my 30 foot. I can close
in
the
one
gap
stride?
In one stride.
Oh my God.
And I think I just have to do it.
Or you could go 30 more feet into...
Or I can go 30 more feet into
or
the bushes.
Or you can just run 30 feet. You can run away 30 feet behind us.
And hope that I fail and I get pushed 30 feet in the other direction. I'm going to do it. I think Asta is pissed and she's just going to rip out of these brambles and just run full speed.
And you have your sword in your hand
katana
already?
Is in my hand.
Because
she's
you
just
were drawing in the air with it, running, like a sparkler?
Running with the katana ready to... Yeah, I was drawing like a sparkler.
All right.
I'm writing arcane
like a ribbon
symbols.
Dancer.
Doing like the Disney Channel logo. Kate gets it.
A ribbon dancer.
All right. Your intention is to move directly at it. Mm-hmm. What is your will save?
+7 with the +1.
Okay. 6 + 1 = 7. Let's see. You can move straight at it.
Yeah! Okay. Oh, this is going to be big. Yeah. This is going to be
barely huge.
All right. So I run straight at it and I'm going to do my spell strike. Gouging Claw. So as I'm running, I cast Gouging Claw, and it's combined with my Spell Strike. So with Spell Strike, I channel the spell into the attack. I first cast the spell. The effects of the spell don't immediately occur. They're imbued into my attack instead, so I just make a melee strike.
Okay.
So let me do that.
Come on.
Come on. Where's my katana? All right, here we go. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
27 to hit.
Yeah. That is a hit.
All right.
Yeah.
So,
this is how close to a crit.
The guidance doesn't apply, right?
Well, one she already roll. Used it.
One roll.
So. But that's fine. Okay, so first for my katana, that's 1d6. So let me solve that.
Okay.
It's a 3.
Okay.
And then,
can Kate aid? Or no, you call
wait, wait, wait. What
me.
Did you just say?
I
your
did.
Damage one with the katana?
Is 1d6.
Plus your strength modifier.
Oh no! Oh no! Sydney's doing math!
Nicholas! You beautiful bastard!
Oh my god!
Nicholas!
Whoa! Such a
Oh no!
Oh no! Sydney's doing math!
I didn't know where that was going.
I was like, what is this?
Oh my god.
That's so cool.
I forgot that was that existed.
I know. He's just, he said that to me a few days ago.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Skid. Thank you, Nick.
CJ and Francis are losing it back there.
Oh no!
Oh no! Sydney's doing math!
So it is, I've done the math, it's plus my strength, 4, 7 total. I rolled a 3, plus my 4, 7.
All right, so it's 3 regular.
With the katana.
You didn't have the strength thing, so it's going to be another 4.
Yes.
Gotcha. All
so
right.
That's just the katana.
Good math.
That was good, easy math.
Oh, no.
And a 3 plus 4.
God, that's so funny, Nick. Okay.
It's so funny.
Now, the gouging claw. My 2 action spell, part of the spell strike. That's going to be 2d6.
So it's just auto damage.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't have to actually
use the
spell
through
attack.
The blade.
Yeah, she hit with the melee.
It discharges
strike.
Into my jaw.
Except, I guess my question is, because the spell still has a potential crit, I have to crit on the
yes.
weapon attack. Okay, cool. So it is 2d6.
Yeah, things get ugly.
It says that you have to use a spell that has a spell attack roll. It's basically what you're doing is replacing the spell attack
with my melee
with your
attack.
Melee
yeah.
attack.
Okay. Which cool.
Strike.
That's
so that is
so powerful.
3, 5, 6, 7, 8 points of damage from the gouging claw.
So a total of 15 on that strike.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's great.
That's great.
And you kill it.
Yeah!
Yeah! Oh! Oh my!
He said, Brother Ramius was like, "We need your blade." That fucking blade's ridiculous.
Thank you for the guidance.
You're able to.
Yeah, that probably made the difference. The guy, because he said
it.
He just made it.
He did
right?
the secret roll. Just say it.
Well, it was on her will save out of the thorns.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I know, but
I think you were off by one. So I think you would have like just hit the save.
Synergy.
Put that one over. Huge. You have killed the oculi.
Awesome. Oh, dude.
Nasty blast.
Is the aura gone? Is that whole weird thing disappeared?
I'm
going
to move you just to the space next to it because you were in a thorny space.
Yeah, does its like aura of darkness
its aura
dissipate?
Completely dissipate. So your light, and you notice that because your light now shines. Still only giving you dim light.
Right.
Or
bright light in 20 feet.
Right, bright light in 20 feet. But
only because it's non-magical.
Right.
Oh, what a bastard.
And can we walk through the trees without having to...
You can navigate your way all the way to that door, that little lantern with the things moving around in it, with ease.
I run up to Asta and I give her a high five.
Should we do a little healing?
Hell yeah.
Of course.
Ow.
Wait.
Ow.
Buckles, are you all right? You look...
It's like his hands, it's like checking his body. So it's like, yes, sorry, I hope I didn't scare you, Brother Ramius.
This has happened before, Buckles. This creature seems to overcome you.
Yes, and he starts, like, shrinking immediately. Like,
it's okay.
His entire being sort of shifts. He's just like, no, I think we should just go.
And feeling that he doesn't want to talk about it right now, and it's not the time, he says, all right, well, let's get you patched up.
Yes. Yeah, and he's and then now it's like he's noticing for the first time that he's been hurt. He's like,
it's all right. Yes. It's all right. This is within my power to heal. Come with me. Let's get with the others. So Brother Ramius will go, and we'll need to spend some time out here healing. maybe an hour or more, just patching up everybody.
Enter the tree.
Before he enters the tree. So do you want me to start doing rolls? Do you want to do it off air? How do you guys want to do it?
You could be rolling as we...
As you talk.
Sit around
talk.
The
okay.
Campfire.
Someone else could role play while you roll.
Asta shakes
come
her.
Come here, Buggles. So he'll work on Buggles first, and he's just going to, do some treat wounds.
And can I examine the door?
Yeah.
Asta does that cool samurai Ronin thing where she whips all the blood off her katana.
Yes.
Yes.
And then resheaths it.
It's the only reason to have one.
It's the only point.
okay. Examining the door.
Matthew?
I'll also examine it.
I'm looking.
I rolled a 15. 18 if it's related to Kanipo.
It is ornate. I mentioned that. Yes. A wooden door, maybe made out of the same wood as the stump. But nothing out of the ordinary. And nothing.
Is it locked?
Is it locked? Check it.
I rolled perception.
Doesn't look locked.
Right.
Was this thing like guarding it?
Is it trapped?
Was it perched out here?
It was perched out here, perhaps to guard its entrance.
Can I check the
check for traps?
The body of the bird. Like, is there anything on it?
There's nothing on it.
Okay.
You just see that? The only thing that's making noise here is that little
amazing
lantern with like things buzzing around inside of it.
Can I look at the lantern?
Yeah, it's like made of paper, and there's like tiny little circles flying around inside of it.
Can I move it?
Mm-hmm.
Can I take it down?
Mm-hmm.
Can I look and I want to see what's in it.
Okay. It's paper that you would have to like rip or poke a hole into to see what's inside.
I think it's fireflies. Don't let them fly out.
Why?
Because don't you want me to be able to use the lantern?
We should let them go.
I mean, we can all see fine.
That's true. You can't.
Do you mind if I let them go?
No, of course not. And he's really preoccupied with Buggles because he's having a hard time figuring out how to help. Like,
Dad, Slim! Dad!
You'll be all right. Calm down. Stop squirming.
Help, please.
And he fails his street wounds attempt.
Blood!
So he has to attempt again, and then he does get it. So he'll heal you 11 points, but we're already
at
20 minutes.
That's pretty good.
Did you get me? Give me a little...
Yeah. I'm 10 down also.
I'm also
What are you doing? There's butterflies within that light. That's what
Yeah, I just want to let them go.
You saw there were shapes, and then I theorized there were fireflies.
Mm.
I let the fireflies go.
You open it, and sure enough, it is fireflies clambering to escape, and they just start floating around, but they're not giving off any light. They just kind of fly away.
Mm. Mm. Bottle cap.
It's better that way.
I'll check for traps.
She's
on the door.
She's kind to the animals. Okay.
Oof. 11.
Cool.
Don't see no traps.
Cool door.
This is a cool door. Does not look trapped.
How's Healy McGee over there?
What do you have to roll to get it?
That's Florence Nightingale. All
right. You have to roll a 10? What do
you
roll?
I could just take 20 to look for traps.
Oh, my God. I just want to be half decent. Like, just, I mean, average. My goal is average. So that is actually a crit on the second one.
Oh,
so
nice.
He's attempting to heal Talitha. Again, fails. Maybe it's the dim light. He can't see as well.
Yeah.
He's putting the torch up against it, but the firelight is just not enough.
I'll cauterize your wound.
That's my face!
Like, doing surgery, and you're like, I can't see. Move that torch closer.
All right, I'll fix it.
Hold that close.
Oh, man. Okay, so that is 18 points of healing.
Okay. I'm feeling great.
Time is passing.
And he's like sweating now, and who else? Step up, step up.
Everybody's like, I'm all right. I'll just,
you know what?
I'd rather die.
You know what? I'm cool. I'll walk it off.
You know what? He's going to roll a cigarette.
Oh, my God.
Light it with the torch.
Light it with the torch. Sets it down on a shadow rock. And continues. Oh, another crit for
there we go.
Zephyr. Another crit for Zephyr.
All right, then.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh my God, 10 points of healing.
That's nice. Perfect.
On a crit. That's
that
a terrible roll.
Chef's kiss.
That's all I need.
And then a couple more, Asta, another crit.
Boom sauce.
It's all averaging out now. There we go. 16 points of healing.
Plenty. Nice. I'm up, back up.
All right, so how much time passes throughout all this?
So it was 20, 40, 50, 60. So that's 1 hour. Okay. And then he's just got to do himself.
Okay.
So it's going to take 10 minutes. It's mental damage.
So. Ooh.
Natural 20.
Oh!
Wow. He prays and centers himself, and I do have to roll it still because...
See where those natural 20s are seen.
Even though I only needed a couple points. Yeah, all right, he got it. So, 20.
Nice. Okay.
See, even when you shoot to be average, you fail.
Boom.
Wow.
Brutal.
Turned.
Wow.
Four crits into a failure.
Well, thanks, Kate.
Somehow re-characterized.
As failure.
The incredible string of success is failure.
Like an IRA. This door stands in front of you, just as invitingly as the stump did when first you entered Nighthold. What do you do?
Open it.
Should we knock?
No.
Asta.
I don't know.
I don't think we should just open the door.
Talitha opens the door.
Talitha!
Talitha goes to open the door, and the door opens like, it feels like it's opening to you. Like you're a second behind the actual opening of it, and it's opening for you.
Like the video sync is off?
Yeah, it's just like, we should fix the video sync.
Francis, I think the sync is off.
And that is what you say. Those of you near the door, although no one is actually near.
We're too afraid.
Oops.
Give you a little flavor. You look in and you see an uneven circular chamber. Fist-sized tunnels riddle the walls and ceiling. Ceiling's about 12 feet high.
Oh, that's a bad sign.
Of this chamber, it looks like the trails of like worms.
Oh no.
Near the southern wall, there is a pillar of living wood that's been carved into a terrifying yet oddly majestic statue of like a lanky, striped-skinned humanoid monster. And its wooden flesh is pocked with, almost look like tiny little pearls. And to the east, there's a door delving deeper into the stump. You see these fist-sized holes everywhere, even on the statue itself. But on the ceiling are these tiny little, like, glowworms that are crawling along and just shedding dim light on the room.
Can I roll a knowledge check on the statue?
Sure.
I'm going to move into the room.
Did we also conclude that the magical light effects are the entire plane of existence here and not just like the forest outside?
Yes, the situation in here. So you know that in the thin lands, spells and abilities with a light trait are weaker. Everything's dimly lit. Artificial light seems to work better than regular light. And then in here, areas in shadow or lit by weak light sources are in dim light. So the light you're providing is still just making everything. It's allowing you to not have to roll the conceal check. Everybody else can see. And that's it.
My bow is away.
Sorry, what you're saying is contradictory in my head.
Okay. As long as
you're saying
have
the light is only providing dim light, I have to roll concealment on dim light. So is it providing creatures, if it's artificial light?
No, as long as you have the torch, you don't have to roll the concealment.
In 20 feet, within 20 feet. Okay.
Knowledge, recall knowledge on the statue? Religion?
Yeah.
Cultism? Arcana?
You tell me.
I'll do religion.
I'll do occultism then. I mean, Arcana is my best skill, but I feel like it's going to be occultism.
I think nature is going to be widely applicable everywhere.
I'll do nature.
What about first world lore?
Anybody have any first world John?
As soon as we have some downtime, I'll be sure level to up. Train in that.
Okay, 20 occultism.
Nice.
15 nature.
Okay.
And then, sorry, I'm a little behind the curve on religion. That is going to be a 21.
Okay. It does not seem to be a religious figure, although the way in which it's presented is very majestic, regal, but not holy.
Mm. Is it a slender figure?
It is a very slender figure that is tall, and its appendages are very, very long.
Kanipo.
Kanipo. So it
could be
not.
Does
not
its visage like feel like what we saw in the alley.
It is similar, but this one almost looks more majestic, stronger. That the thing you saw in the alley didn't look particularly strong.
Maybe that's like a shadow of what it would be here. Mm. It's a more robust form of itself in its home.
Or maybe it's being depicted as stronger.
Yeah, maybe it's like a worshipful sort of depiction of it.
Yeah. Is this... So, could it be that Kanipo is the Duke?
Count.
Like, could the Count? Could they be one
exiled?
In the same?
Yeah. No, I believe they're separate figures. Let me check my notes.
Hmm.
Because I wonder if... Is this the Duke or Count or whatever?
Count was exiled.
Yeah.
So I guess they wouldn't be statue worshipping him at all, right? If he was exiled.
Kanipo the Slim...
Yeah, they were talked about as like two separate entities. I mean, maybe they're the same, but
yeah, just one working theory.
And you know, the statue has those same holes as the ceiling and the walls, but some of the holes are full of what look like pearls.
Oh,
sorry. And can I confirm that this is all wood? Like the inside is it the cut out inside of a
it's the great
absolutely
hollow.
Gigantic tree?
Yeah,
I want to look at the pearls.
Okay,
that was creepy.
Asta. Yeah. Steps forward. You're all in the room here. Asta steps right next to the statue to examine the pearls. And as you're looking at them, you realize they aren't pearls. They're humanoid teeth. And it's at that moment that all of you hear a buzzing sound coming from all around you. And you see, coming out of the walls, the ceiling,
giant termites,
and the statue itself, like all these tiny little winged creatures that form together into one large swarm.
Oh,
and they're swarms. All holding pliers.
Oh no!
And we'll see you next week.
Oh,
oh no!
The tooth fairies!
Oh my god!
Fucking mad him!
No. This is so messed up, man.
This is really messed up.
Oh,
this is a marathon, man.
It's time to make your membership official. Become an official member of the NAISH today at jointhenaish.com. That's join the NAISH.com, where you'll get access to exclusive podcasts and live streams you can't find anywhere else. See what everybody's talking about and join the NAISH today at jointhenaish.com.
Privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.